Welcome to The Power of Love. We're so thankful that you're watching today, whether you're online or in the theater. We're glad that you're here. This series has been going on for a few weeks, so I'm going to give you a little bit of review before we move forward. So the first week we talked about love is sacrifice, all right? Let's just be honest. That is not easy to do, but that's what the scripture describes. Ephesians chapter 5, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God. If you're going to love somebody, if you're going to demonstrate love, it has to be with a little sacrifice involved in there. And Christ set that example for us. Week two was love matters most. It is a reminder that if all the things that we can focus on, when you look at scripture, he says more than anything, this is 1 Peter, keep loving each other actively. More than anything else, because love covers a multitude of sins. And I can promise you, I understand that. I have a feeling you do as well. So that's why it's so important to go back and watch some of these messages if you missed them, because it gives you more information and helps you understand why that's so important. And then week three, we talked about last week. That was just last week. Love is patient. And 1 Corinthians, this is the one that's difficult for all of us, I think. Love is patient. Love is not easily angered. And that is 1 Corinthians. It's a reminder that when things are happening and things are happening quickly, you got to keep your cool and be patient and be kind and do not get easily angered. And I got this little video because we went to the fights last night. We were having a good time with all our friends and stuff. And then somebody sent me this video. They're like, hey man, how would you react in this situation? Well, here is love is patient defined, not easily angered. Watch this.
All right, let's hit gloves.
Oh my.
Is that powerful?
Yeah, that was good.
Did you hear it? Was that powerful? Yeah, all right. I don't know how he kept his cool, but somehow he did, all right? This is the thing. Love is powerful, and it is not easy, as that dad demonstrated. Excuse me, I can't get it out, because I think about, I don't know how I've reacted. He was very patient, and as today, we're going to talk about being kind. And the reason I talk about all of these different illustrations and examples, because every week when we walk out of here, if it really resonates with you, if the message touches you, you send me text and email and phone calls, and I got a lot after last week. And it was everybody saying, man, I passed the test. I mean, it was difficult from the parking lot or something at work or in family. Thank you for telling me the stories, because it really does matter. And I wanted just to encourage you before we move on with 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. So although you felt like it was happening to you, I'm telling you, there were a lot of emails and a lot of texts. So I was laughing, thinking, man, all of us are being tested daily. And all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Can I get an amen on that? Somewhere. Come on, theaters, let me hear you. Yes. He don't let you down, man. He's going to get you through it. He's always there to help you to come through it. And this is why I am so thankful that you watch. I'm so thankful that you're here, is because we're going to try to help you pass the test, all right? Get through this temptation and demonstrate what real love is. And just to have a little bit more fun, I put together another little video of all these different scenarios where they passed the test. And this, if you notice real quick, at the end, most of the people, almost every one of them laugh, even though it was a difficult circumstance. Laughter really is a good medicine. Watch.
I'm not angry anymore. Well, sometimes I am. I don't think badly of you. Well, sometimes I do. I'm not angry anymore. It depends on the day if I wake up in a giddy haze. Well, I'm not angry. I'm not totally angry. I'm not all that angry anymore.
I don't know if you could respond the way they did, but I promise you, that is passing the test, I promise you. So where are we going to go today? We've had a little fun with it, but here's what I want you to remember right up front. Love is not a feeling. When you think about love, everybody thinks about, well, this is the way I feel, but the truth is it's way bigger than just a feeling. It's something that is created by action. It's way bigger than just walking through. And the Bible describes that when I show you this little phrase, this is what we're talking about. Love is kindness in action. You already know that 1 Corinthians 13 is kind of what we're focused on as we walk through the series. But when you get to this little part where you talk about love is kind, it is not easy to be kind. And how do you put your kindness into action? How good are you at that? If you were to kind of have a little scale and test yourself, would you say you're really good at it, or this needs some work? The reason I keep talking about this is because I need the work. There are moments in my life where I do better, and then there's other I'm like, man, I am failing at this miserably. So hopefully as we walk through the series and today's message, you'll go, okay, I get it. And why I love this topic is because in Luke chapter 10, Jesus describes some attitudes that keep us from action. When you talk about kindness really is love in action, why don't we get involved? Why don't we demonstrate love? Well, Jesus told us in Luke 10 through a very familiar story, and it is the Good Samaritan story. There was a young man, right, coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and robbers attacked him, stripped him, beat him, and left him half dead on the side of the road. It so happened that a priest, a religious person, was going down the road, and he saw the man, and then he walked by on the other side. Now, this first attitude that I'd like to point your attention to is, ain't nobody got time for this. That's the first attitude. And you go, well, what do you mean? Say you see a situation similar to the story that Jesus just told. The majority of us, we don't want to get involved. We keep our distance, just as this religious leader did. He looked at him from a distance and said, man, that's good enough. I don't think I need to get involved in that. When you see the scripture, when he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. It's like, man, I am going to get away from this. I ain't getting close to him. This guy may have something. There may be robbers hiding. If they got him, they're going to get me. And so we just stay away from it. Now, what's interesting about that, Jesus is setting us up here. He's saying, here's a religious person who doesn't have time to help. They're going to keep their distance. The second attitude is what I call the rubbernecker. And y'all know what this is. It's when you see the accident or you see the trouble and you like to get a closer look, but you still don't do anything. A Levite, another religious leader, came by there. He went over, looked at the man, and then walked by on the other side. So he didn't see him from a distance. He actually walked up to him, got a closer look, and was like, okay, man, this guy really does look bad. Woo, this guy's in tough shape. This is when you call people, did you see that wreck on I-20? Oh my gosh. And then you don't do anything. You just kind of like spreading the word that you saw a horrible accident. And all you do is slow down traffic, you slow down movement because you don't want to get involved. Please notice that both of the opening illustration of Jesus' story were religious people, very smart, very educated. They understood what they should be doing, but yet they did not react. And Jesus was not a fan. So then he throws in attitude number three, which hopefully will apply to all of us. Don't stare, take time to care. Now, as you see in the theater, everybody keeps asking me, like, what is that donkey on your shirt? What is that all about? Well, this is the story where it all started for me. Because it's not about seeing that there's a problem. That's part of the issue. Get off your donkey. Can I get an amen out there? You're going to see in this story, it is not just about going out there and going, man, I see that's a problem. That's really tough. Or as you saw in the first two people, avoid the problem. It is about you getting involved. Check out the story. A Samaritan who is traveling that way. And by the way, a Samaritan, the most unlikely hero of a story for Jesus to tell, because they called them half-breeds. This was the idea that they were like, you know what? They're not very religious. They're kind of outsiders. This is the unchristian for our world. And a Samaritan, the most unlikely, comes up and sees this man and he has pity on him. He cares. He looks at him. He doesn't just stare at him. He's like, man, this moves me. This is messing with me a little bit. So then Jesus was throwing out this idea right up front. How would you like to be treated if you're in this situation? How would you want your child to be treated if they were in that situation? And Jesus is throwing out a very simple concept. Kindness, love in action, Christianity, being a follower of Jesus, it always begins with your eyes. You have to see the need. You have to understand you can't run away from it. You can't be frustrated by it. You can't be scared of it. You got to go, man, I see it. I'll prove it. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Look out for the good of others. Look around and see what's going on. Go, okay, here's my opportunity. Galatians 6:8, the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, harvests a crop of weeds. And all they'll have to show for it is a life of weeds. What is the scripture saying over and over again? Why is this so important? Why was this such a big deal to Jesus? I believe because religion has a tendency to make you feel better. You study it, you sing the songs, you feel good about yourself, and then it leads to no action. It leads to, man, okay, I'm good. Why would I get involved with anything else? I'm just trying to take care of me. I just need to grow deeper. I just need to be better. And Jesus is coming in and going, hey, here's a priest, very deep, very knowledgeable. Here's a Levite. These guys are the ones that know everything. We got them all handling their business when it comes to their discipleship or their knowledge, but there's no action. So Jesus tells you, if you care, be aware. Open your eyes in your home, in your workplace, in your community, and yes, even in your church. When you see something going on and you see someone hurting, or you see someone that needs encouragement, or you see someone in a bind, you don't just go, man, I'm praying for you. You don't just go, I'm scared to get involved in that. You're like, what are you asking me to do, God? And I'm gonna tell you, when I see problems, I'm like you. It's a challenge. You have all of these skeptical ideas. You have so much knowledge that it causes you to be fearful. It causes you to get on the other side of the road. And then occasionally a story comes along that reminds you of what we're supposed to do. Now you have Luke 10 reminding us, but how about a modern day example? I think this story will resonate with everybody. And this is not one you've seen before. This is an example of everything I've just talked about. Care enough. Open your eyes to see what's going on around you. And guess what? It will not only affect someone else's life, it will affect yours. Here's the proof.
Used to be, when Ginger Sprouse came across homeless people, she would often give them something. Her 2 cents.
I would say, why don't you get a job? Or what's your problem? It made me very uncomfortable. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I've been that way my whole life.
But about a year ago, Ginger, who owns a cooking school outside Houston, decided she didn't like that about herself and would at least try to change.
He would stand right here on the corner.
She began
right there
by approaching a guy she used to see all the time on her way to work. His name is Victor Hubbard. Victor says he told Ginger how he ended up on the streets after his mother moved away and left him.
You had no idea where your mom was?
No, I didn't know where she was.
He says Ginger listened to his story and went on her way.
Then I couldn't get him out of my mind. And so I was like, okay, fine, I'll go back. But what really got me, this is probably after the third time I met him, he said, when are you coming back?
People would come by and I was like, you know what? I have a friend named Ginger. She's on her way. I was trying to let them know
that somebody's watching out for
you. Yeah, I was taken care of.
This continued for a few months until the day Ginger realized she couldn't keep going on like this.
It was a cold December night. And although Victor had food and blankets, there's only so much comfort you can pass through a car window. So Ginger did something the old Ginger would have never dreamed of doing.
I could not leave him there.
She went to her husband with a request.
I asked Dean, would it be okay with you if I went and got him? And I said, if he could just stay one night because it's raining.
Well, okay, stop right there.
Okay.
I had to think about it, you know.
I'm sure you did. I'm starting to recognize the slippery slope here.
Yes, exactly. The honest truth is, you know, when she says, I feel compelled to help this guy, how can I say no to that?
And that's how Victor Hubbard found his second family.
Oh, yeah.
He now lives with Ginger and Dean full time.
He was my favorite.
They helped him get social services and doctor's appointments, introduced him to the community, and made him part of it. Victor also works 2 jobs now. One at a burger joint.
Yep, just like that.
And another at a cooking school, where he has one of the most compassionate bosses in South Texas.
There you go, looks good. Life is messy, but if you're gonna love other people, you have to be willing to step into their mess. My whole life, I've wanted to avoid that. That's why I rolled the window up and didn't look. Give it some distance.
And that's why she now rolls it down to let the blessings blow in. Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Houston, Texas.
Can you get a better example? I don't know if you can get a better example for today because she said everything that the scripture shows us. It's like you have to be able to roll down the window. You have to be able to see the need. And it's messy. That's why people pass by, particularly religious people. They love everything to be nice and neat, like everything to be just so. And Jesus was reminding all of us, that's not who I am. I am not a religious guy. I am a relationship person. And relationships are messy. And when you see the need, you need to meet the need. These little sayings have been around the Simple Church for a long time. Get off your donkey. See the need, meet the need. And let me ask you, is this an area, after 16, 17 years, or maybe for some of you, you're brand new, is this an area you need to work on? See, kindness is action. It calls for us to do something. When you look back at that Luke chapter 10, Jesus describes it like this. He gave him first aid. This is a messy situation, as she just talked about. Bandaged his wounds. This is not a clean, neat, easy circumstance. Then he lifted him onto his own donkey. He had to get off the donkey, and then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins, gave him to the innkeeper, and then he says this, take care of him, and if it costs anything more, put it on my bill. Is that you? Or do you go, man, I don't know about all this. I'm not getting involved in this. I don't know if I can really help with this. As I said before, I'm not there either. I really ask that God would make me more like the Samaritan, that we would follow the example. The Simple Church, we're trying. We're trying to teach our kids. We're trying to set the example. And I got to brag on LB, Tricky's kid. He told us, and he sent it on Facebook. Tricky told us about it when LB went to the gas station and an elderly lady had a flat tire. And thank God for teenagers who listen, young people. It's not just about old people. This is who we're supposed to be. And LB stopped, changed the tire for the old lady, loved on her, and then told his dad. And his dad was like, thank God, I'm proud of you, son. Why? Because it's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to keep talking about it. But LB got off his donkey. You and I need to get off of our donkeys. This is why I wear the shirts. When I look in the mirror, it's a reminder for me. Why do we sell them at the do-good stores? Because it can be a reminder to use. Because if you're going to do good, you have to be willing to get in the mess. And look at this. Kneeling beside him. It's not from a distance. It's not walking to the other side of the road. It's not just cutting a check, although we're thankful. Sometimes God calls you to get in the middle of it. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged him. He got down on his level, eye to eye. You've heard the phrase, get off your high horse, or here's a new one, get off your high donkey, all right? Same eye level, eye to eye. Proverbs says it like this, never walk away from someone who deserves your help. Your hand, this is the most powerful part of this, your hand is God's hand for that person. Whether that's sponsoring a kid halfway around the world, you got to understand that you're representing God in that moment, that God cares about them. Or if it's stopping and helping someone right here in Shreveport, Bossier, or wherever you live, your hand is God's hand. Never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them right now. See, this was the story that Jesus was driving home. He knew about all these scriptures. He had studied them himself, and now he is telling us, don't just say it, do it. Because there are walking wounded around us every day, in the workplace, in your neighborhood, in this community. Some are walking wounded emotionally, spiritually, relationally, financially. And when God lays it on your heart, as he did with that lady you just saw, do something about it. Because God intentionally puts people in your path for a reason. It is not an accident. When you go, I just don't know if this is really what I'm supposed to do. This is your opportunity, and that's how we learn to be kind. It's more than just studying the scripture. Everybody's got this book learning idea. Well, I study the scripture, and I've come to worship night, which I hope you come. I hope you are studying. I hope you're in a life group, and I hope you're getting deeper and deeper. But the deeper you get, the more action should be demonstrated. It is not just about what we know. It's how we live, and it's how we treat people. As I know, I've told you this before, but I became the chaplain a couple years ago, and they sent to training. I went to chaplain training for, 40-plus hours of learning what to do, and it was book knowledge. But I can tell you for sure, book knowledge is not it. It gives you a foundation. You have to learn by experiencing it yourself. Experience is the best teacher. And when you get in those circumstances, it's messy. You don't want to go. You're kind of intimidated. You're worried. But in the moment, when people look at you and say, man, God put you in my life and I needed you. Thank you for being here. The reward comes back to you. And you start going, all right, God, I get it. And if you want to be kinder, if you want to be more loving, here's some things I want to remind you. Number one, be willing to be interrupted. It's going to mess your life up. It's going to mess your schedule up. You're going to be trying to do one thing and God's going to put someone in your path or some circumstantial situation. And will you have an excuse or will you do something? I can tell you many times I have an excuse. I'm like, God, help me to eliminate the excuses and see the need and meet the need. Help me to get off of my donkey, Lord, and do good. Number two, if you want to be kinder, you're going to have to be willing to take some risk. Sometimes that's in our community and sometimes that's around the world. For years, we have been going to some of the most dangerous places in the world. We just got back from Honduras drilling another water well. People would say, I can't believe you're doing this. I can't believe you're going to go out there. If you don't go, they don't have water. You are literally the hands and feet of Jesus. You don't have the encouragement. And guess what? I promise you, if you'll go one time anywhere else and you get out of your comfort zone and you stop and you don't just look, it's going to change you. It's changed me. That's why we keep pushing for it. My kids and my family, we've went to Juarez. We're getting ready to go again in just a few short weeks. And I put this picture up on the screen because I looked at all of my kids' eyes while they're in the midst of these moments. And Juarez is a couple of $100 in a few days. It will change your life. You can't be fearful. Man, you can't have excuses. You got to say, man, this is my opportunity. Look at these pictures of my kids smiling and loving. Right now, it messes with them. It changes who they are. And if you're the next generation, if you're leading, if you're young in here, don't just go, okay, well, that's cool for somebody else. It can be cool for you and your family. And here's what I have learned, and I'm challenging you with this. Fear can make you unkind. If you're fearful to go on a trip, if you're fearful to stop, if you're fearful to help, the next thing you know, there is no love extended. There is no hands of God in place. And he left you on this planet for that reason. It is that important. And here's the good news for Jesus. You ready for this? There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Don't let fear keep you from going to Juarez or Honduras or across the street to help someone. You have an opportunity in front of you. Seize that moment. And if you want to be kinder, this is the one that's tough on everybody. Quit being so stingy. Can I get an amen? You go, what are you talking about, Justin? I didn't hear any amens in the theater, by the way. Let me say it again. Can I get an amen? Amen. Why? Because we're stingy with our time and with our money. I can't take off. I can't be away. I just don't know if I have enough to do this or to do that. And here is an encouraging message found in Isaiah for all of us who feel that way, because I feel that way sometimes too. But here's why we keep doing it. If you feed the hungry and you take care of the needs of those who are troubled, then your light will shine in the dark. What he's already been talking about. This is Old Testament. Now we got New Testament. Same God, same stories. But here's the part I want you to remember. And the Lord will always lead you, and he will satisfy your needs. Even when you're in dry lands, if you're taking care of others, he's going to take care of us. You'll be like a spring that never runs dry. Simple church, we do not have enough money, all right? I promise you. We are always living on the edge. But I can say this with confidence. He has always met our needs. Even when we're stretching ourselves to drill more water wells or to help more schools or to put shoes on the feet of kids or sponsor more kids or all the things we're doing, helping the hub and everything else, miraculously, God always comes through for us. And here's the promise. God promises to take care of you when you take care of others. But when we make excuses and I don't think I can do that, I don't know how I'm going to do this, then the next thing you know, you're missing a blessing for you and you're also missing the opportunity to help someone else. So don't be stingy with your time or your resources. Quick story, we're coming back from Juarez and this is how God takes care of us. We're riding down the highway, man, I'm going probably a little too fast. And the next thing I know, look in the mirror, I took this picture because here's what happened. That's the Texas State Troopers pulling us over. No lie, the officer's name is Jesus. It's Jesus, all right? That's the truth. And I'm like, hey, Jesus. And he's like, hey, man, you were speeding or whatever. I'm like, I'm sorry. He goes, what are y'all doing? I was like, man, we just left Juarez. We've been doing a mission trip. He's like, hey, listen, have a good day and thank you for helping my people. Have a great day. Be safe. And I thought, thank you, Jesus, for meeting my needs as we're meeting the other needs. Because I didn't want a ticket. I didn't want my insurance to go up. I don't want to mess up. And I'm sitting here. And then I look at all the teenagers in the car and I'm like, that's a lesson for all of you. Not that they shouldn't have been speed, but I was like, Jesus comes through. You know what I'm saying? Why do I tell you this? It's no lie. Look at my life. I can look back and see how God has been so faithful. He has been so faithful in the simple church. He's been so faithful in me and Angie's life. And I can tell you, and so many more of you guys in here, just risk it. Don't let fear control you, man. Walk to the scene. Get involved to say, God, I'm here. Use me. Because here's the thing that Jesus was pushing for in that story and still in this message today. Always treat others as you would like them to treat you. The priest walked by. That ain't how he'd want to be treated. The Levite, the old, religious guy walks by, don't even look at him, got a rubber neck and moves on. He's like, no, is that how you'd want to be treated? Is that how you want your kid to be treated if they're in a bind? That's why LB helping to change a tire on the gas station, that's what I'd want my kids to do. That's how I'd want someone to treat me if I'm in a bind, I don't know how to fix it. And shouldn't we as Christians be demonstrating that love? And love is kind. This is the thing, man. You have an opportunity. And you never know. Your gifts, your talents, your abilities, in your way, you can change someone's life. This last story is going to prove it. Probably one of the coolest stories because it's one you've never seen. It's an unusual because this lady uses her gifts, her talent, her time, and she does something not even knowing what it's going to do. But listen close, and you tell me if it made a difference. Watch.
A few years ago, Melody Morrow of New York City hurt her foot and needed physical therapy. But she says what really made her feel better was paying the bills.
You asked for a receipt.
Correct.
And it comes in the mail.
Correct.
And what was special about it?
On the envelope, on the front of the envelope, it had these little music notes.
Her name is Melody, but this is a big health system. Personal touches on billing statements aren't typically their thing.
And then it began.
Every month thereafter, her payment receipt arrived in the mail. And every month, a new drawing. They started out simple, like this treble clef. But as the months progressed, the envelopes got more and more elaborate. And this was original art, created anonymously just for her.
It's hard to even describe. It was incredible.
Melody did call her provider, MJHS Health System,
and asked if by chance there was anyone in the billing department who was artistic. She says the phone got quiet, and then she heard, "Hey, Emily, it's for you."
I'm like, uh-oh, what I do now?
What were you hoping was going to come from this?
I like to make people happy.
Accounting clerk Emily Margolis is hardly a frontline caregiver, but she says she can still make people better, and her drawings are her way. Melody was so grateful, Emily decided to ramp up her game even further. She began taking Melody's mailings home at night and spent hours turning those plain white business envelopes into masterpieces.
Then I started adding rhinestones. I know, I got involved with the gold leaf. That was fun. I'd never done that before. Yeah.
Where was this going to stop?
I know how much she had left to pay.
This was the last mailing, but not the end of the story.
Hello.
Mwah. Melody and Emily became friends and are now co-curators of an exhibit at this Manhattan coffee shop, showcasing Emily's enveloping creations. Although Melody says what's really on display here is the healing power of kindness.
This was a stranger, and she was doing that just for me. And that's the beauty of it.
A note of harmony. Steve Hartman on the road in New York.
Come on, y'all, give it up. Great, 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 great example. Would you pray with me? Father, we just want to be full of kindness. We're not great at it. We mess it up. We miss the opportunities. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give us your eyes. You would help us to be able to see what's going on around us and that we wouldn't be scared, Lord, that we wouldn't be so busy that we wouldn't take time to get involved. Because love is kind. And Lord, we're not great at it. We mess up. And that's where I'm so thankful for our fresh starts and new beginnings. And today can be that. So we're asking you, help us. If somebody's never given their life to you, Lord, we're asking you to come into our lives, to change us, to make us more like you. This world needs love. It needs kindness. And you left us on this planet with the time and the resources that we have to be your hands and to be your feet. Because in a world that is so desperate for hope, Lord, we can be that hope. Help us, God, to get off our donkeys and do some good. Love people the way you love us, sacrificially, Father. Lord, so full of just joy when we do it. Help us to be like you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen? Come on, y'all, come on.